this evening to what God is doing there. This is what you've been investing in, okay? This is what you've been praying for, and you're going to see some fruit tonight. And I just encourage you, let it get right in the center of your heart. And just this is what it's all about, folks. And so just do that. There was something else I was going to mention. Oh, yes, I will remind you Sunday school teachers after we get done, we're not going to keep you long because we want you folks to get up here and go by and greet our missionaries. There's one thing that I really enjoyed, and by the way, I always got this at Crooked Creek, and I'm thankful. But one thing I always appreciated when I went into a church as a missionary is after the service, before and after the service, how many members would come up and greet us, encourage us, let them know they're praying for us. Perhaps they didn't stay a long time, but they just came by just with a word of encouragement. I just want to ask you to keep doing that, church. Get by there and at least just say a hello. I know that they would appreciate it. Let them know you're praying for them. Get you an updated prayer card and so that we can keep them before the Lord. Well, Brother Keith, would you come on up and give us an update, and then you share God's Word with us. Thank you so much, brother.
God bless you.
Yes, sir.
But it is a joy for Jeanette and I to be back here, and it's been several years since we had the privilege of being here, but we're so happy to be here, and I want to just say from the bottom of my heart, we appreciate you as the church and for the years that you've been behind us, praying for us and helping us in the work there in Taiwan. And I like to just do a couple things. I always like to share a little bit about Taiwan, some of the differences, you know, and whenever you compare Taiwan with the United States, it's all the way on the other side of the world, so yeah, a lot of things are different. I think when they confounded the language, we were on the opposite side, amen? Everything is pretty much different, you know, when you say your name, you start with the last name, when you say the date, you start with the year first, and so a lot of things are different, but another thing that's different is the language, and you all look like a real smart group, so I'm going to teach you a couple words in Chinese. I know this young lady here, she already knows that, she's been there in Taiwan, has learned, she was speaking Chinese to us, and appreciate that. But what is this right here? Huh?
Ni.
Okay, and what is H-O-W? Now, can you say those two words together? Ni hao. That's hello. W-D. Okay, good. Ni hao, that's hello. Okay, so that didn't hurt, did it? I don't know an English word that sounds like this, but it's kind of a Z and an I sound put together. Zai. Can you say that? Zai. And what's this here? Jian. Say Jian with the G sound. Jian. Okay? Zai. Jian. That's goodbye. Okay? So, ni hao is hello, and zai jian is goodbye. So, Pastor, if you get a chance to visit us, and I hope you can one day, you may not know anything going on around about you, but you'll know two things if you're coming or going. Amen? And that's more than we know here sometimes, isn't it? But maybe you caught it as we learned those two words. Chinese is a tonal language, and so if I said the word zhu, the first tone, zhu means pig. If I go up with my voice, zhu, it means bamboo. If you go down and up like a V, zhu, it means Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go straight down, zhu, it means to live. So just by saying zhu, 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 I've said four different things. And if you haven't figured it out already, I'm just a country boy, and it's easy to get to preach and say, the pig loves you, amen. So you have to be careful with those tones or you can get yourself in a lot of trouble real quick, you know. But the Lord's good and grace is good. But anyway, I like to go ahead and show you just a couple of slides, and we'll make it really short tonight because of time. But just give you a little bit of update. And of course, we are the Colors family, and we just appreciate you so much. In Taiwan, another thing that's different is the religion. Of course, is Buddhism and Taoism, also ancestor worship and worshiping idols. There's more temples in Taiwan per capita than any place in the world. Just every place you go, the temples and inside the temples, just many, many different idols. And so they worship the idols. Well, when we went to Taiwan, we thanked the Lord that we started Freedom Baptist Church, and then we were able to build the building and turn this work over to a national pastor, and now it's being pastored by a national and this is the church whenever we left it. And then we also... where we are now is in Mountaintop Baptist Church, and this is our 10-year anniversary there. And I'd like you to notice that man sitting to the left of me. His name is Yixin. I have several different prayer requests tonight. Number one is Yixin. We're hoping that right now we're trying to build a building. If you've kept up with our prayer letters, you know that we've had all kinds of different problems with zoning and things like that. But hopefully we'll be able to jump through the last hurdle in a couple of months and be able to start on this building. So it's our hope that after we build the building and the church gets stable, we'll be able to turn this work over to Ishin, that's the young man there, and he will be able to be the pastor. So pray for us that we can see this building built. Several things is really unique in Taiwan. We can go into the public school for Christmas and Easter, and we have just a presentation there, and give them the gospel. You know, and a lot of times they think Christmas is related to New Year's because it's only a week separated. And the biggest holiday in Taiwan is the New Year, so they think that Christmas is basically New Year. So we're able to tell them about the true meaning of Christmas and the true meaning of Easter, and this is one of the elementary school that came. Sometimes the entire school is able to hear the presentation. One Christmas we had as many as 10,000 students were able to hear the gospel. After we give them the gospel, we also give them a little bag of candy, and inside the candy, of course, has a gospel track and information about the church, so we can continue to follow up on them. But that's something that's unique in Taiwan, and just pray for us. We're getting closer to as we begin to plan for Christmas there and going into the public school. So that's a blessing. We thank the Lord for that. Also, another thing that we've been, in the last several years, we've been able to do is go into mainland China. And these two groups of people here, I won't say where they're at, but just some pastors and also church leaders in underground churches, or the house churches is called there in China. And so these two of the groups that I had the privilege of teaching, going teaching Bible school classes. Now, what's really a blessing is these men are going to their area in China, and they're beginning to start Bible schools. And so now we've been going into the schools that the students have started and teaching them the Word of God. And so we just thank the Lord for the privilege of going into China. My wife and some of the other graduates from our Bible school in Taiwan are also going into China and teaching. In the area that we go, up until now, they didn't see the need of having Sunday school for children. Now, we know what happens when you don't teach your children the Bible. They thought, well, when they get out of high school and after they're out of school, then we'll be able to bring them to church. Well, basically, you lose them if you don't teach them the Word of God when they're small. And so now they're seeing the need of Sunday school. And so some of our ladies are at Bible school. My wife and other teachers go in there and teach the ladies how to teach children. And so that's really an important thing. It's something that God just opened up for us in the last couple of years. Another prayer request I'd like to pray for is our son, Neil. He was born in Taiwan, and he just got engaged last week. He's going to get married in December, and his wife, his preacher wife, is also they're going to come back to Taiwan and help us with the work there. And so pray for him as he's raising support to go back to Taiwan to be a missionary. Then the third request I have, I mentioned we are trying to build a building. This is a building that we hope to build in Taiwan because the land is very expensive. Buildings don't go out, they go up. And so that's why we're building a three-story building, the Sunday school classes, things be right on top. But pray for us that we can get all the required documents and building permits that we need. If I had time tonight, I could go through just a long line of problems that we've had. But just pray that God would help us real soon to be able to start this building. We have 2/3 of the needed finances to build the building, but pray that God would help us to get started and then be able to build this. And I could tell you a lot of reasons why it's important for a church to have their own building in Taiwan because of government regulations and things like that. So it's very important for us to have our own building and our own land so that we'll be a registered church and then be recognized by the government. So we thank the Lord for the souls that have been saved. Thank the Lord for the ministries that God's given us in the school and also in China and also for our son coming. And we just thank the Lord. Sometimes people ask us a question. You saw the second slide there, third slide there was all those idols. Sometimes people ask us the question, Brother Keith, why in the world would somebody want to worship an idol? You think about, why would somebody want to worship an idol? Well, why do we have such a nice group on Wednesday night here in church or Sunday morning? You see, they have the same spiritual desires and needs that we have. They want to know they have salvation. They want to know their sins are forgiven. They want to have peace in their heart. They want to know all those things. But they've been taught as a child the only way to find that is to go to the idol and worship go to the temple and worship the idol. Why are there just thousands of different idols? because those idols don't give them what they desire. And so they go from idol to idol to idol to idol, temple to temple to temple, trying to find that joy and peace and assurance in their heart that only Christ can give. And so that's why they do that. They are seeking the same spiritual things that we are, because they know that they're lost and they need to be saved. And so that's why they go to the temple, and that's why we need to go and tell them the truth, that they can find all that their soul desires in Jesus Christ, and they can find assurance of salvation, forgiveness of sin, and peace and joy in the heart that only Christ can give. And so, again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity that we had to share with you about Taiwan, and thank you so much for your prayers and support. Okay? I think that's the last one. I'll turn that off. And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Okay. I think mine's better than yours. Mine blacks it out. We were laughing. I have one just like that. We were kidding about which one's better. Okay, Acts chapter 8. And let's bow for a word of prayer, okay? Our Father, thank you for the opportunity we have tonight just to be here and to share with this church what you've done in Taiwan, what you're doing in Taiwan. And Lord, we're so thankful that they have a burden not only for the people here in this area, but also for people around the world. And Father, I pray that you would bless now as we look at your word, and that we would be able to receive what you have for us tonight. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to say exactly what you'd have us to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, tonight we won't look at the whole portion of Scripture before for looking at this, but I like to ask you a question or leave something with you tonight. The importance of one, or the worth of one. When we think about the world today and 7 billion people, about 7 billion people, sometimes we think of all the great crowds of people and the multitudes of people, and it's easy to get lost in the crowd. And I want us to think about tonight, what I want you to catch tonight is that God is interested in one. Amen. He's interested in individuals. He's interested in you. He knows all about you. He knows all about your needs. He knows all about your desires. The Bible says He even knows the hair on your head. When we think about what God has done in the past, we can see how that God has used individuals. Let me just give you a couple examples real quick this morning, or tonight. How many people did it take to help the man that was beaten on the Jericho Road? Thank you. One good Samaritan, right? How many people did it take to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Just one. Moses, right? How many people did it take to confront David whenever he had sinned and caused him to repent? Just one. Nathan. How many people did it take to show the 450 prophets of Baal that God was the only God? Just one. Elijah. How many people did it take to announce the coming of the kingdom of God and the Messiah? Just one. John the Baptist. Now, how many people did it take to feed over 5,000 men plus women and children? Just one little lad's lunch. How many people did it take to save the Jewish people from Haman's wicked plan to destroy them? Just one. Esther. We could go through the Bible and see how that God, down through history, has used individuals to do His work. The book of Esther says, "Thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this." For such a time as this. And I believe for such a time as this, today, God still has His individual, God still has His person that He wants to use to do His work. You see, God is important, and God sees the importance of individuals, and you're important tonight. And what I want to look at tonight is the importance of one. And when you think about these people that we just mentioned, they weren't rich people or famous people. They were just shepherds and fishermen, and some were young, some were old. But they were people that were willing for God to use them. Years ago, when my wife was a teenager, there was a missionary who came to her church, and he gave the invitation, or gave the challenge, and said, "Who would make yourself available to God?" And that night, my wife came forward and she just said, "I'm available." Amen. And little did she know that one day she would spend most of her life in Taiwan. Why? Because she made herself available to the Lord. And so we see that God is, He's still doing a work today. Christ hasn't come back yet, so there's still people that need to be saved, will be saved. His work is not finished yet. And for such a time as this that we're living in today, God is looking for His person that would say, yes, you can use my life. You can use my life. Someone wrote a poem, and let me just read it real quickly for you. It says, I'm only one, but I still am one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Will we do the something that we can do? And so as we look at Acts chapter 8 real quickly, we can see here in this portion of Scripture three different people. All three are important, and all three exist today. And as we look at this, I want you to see these three individuals and how important each one of them is. Look, if you would, at verse number 26, and let's read verse 26 through 28. The Bible says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, and saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, and which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man. If you underline your Bible, circle those two words there. A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, had come to worship, come to Jerusalem, to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. You see the first person here in this story, it says, a man. What does he represent here? He represents a lost sinner. A lost sinner. You see, he went to Jerusalem to do what? To worship. And he was returning. If you know the rest of this story, he went with the right purpose in mind. He went with the right goal in mind. He went to worship, but he was returning, going back home, and yet he was still lost. He didn't understand what he was reading. That's so typical of so many people today. Last Sunday, how many people in the United States or how many people in this world went to a place to worship and left lost? Because they didn't hear the gospel, they didn't hear about Jesus Christ, or they didn't understand what they heard. And so this man represents a lost person, a man. And there are many people like him in the world. Matter of fact, we're all like him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then verse 10 says, As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. So what's the importance of one lost man? In Mark chapter 8, the Bible says, What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the value of one soul is worth all the riches of this world. Whatever you spend in this church to win people in this neighborhood or around the world, it's worth it. If one soul is saved, because the Bible says one soul is worth all the riches of the world. That's the value, that's the worth of one lost sinner. I heard a story one time, perhaps you've heard it, it's an old story, but a man was walking along the coast, the beach one day, and as he walked along the beach, the tide had come in and just hundreds of starfish had washed ashore. And as the sun was out, these starfish were dying on the shore. And as he walked along, every once in a while he'd bend down and pick up a starfish and throw it back in the water, saving its life. And he walked along the shore, pick up one, throw it back, saving its life. There was another man walking towards him, and as their paths crossed, the second man laughed at him and said, What difference does it make? What difference does it make? There are thousands, hundreds of them dying on the shore. He didn't say anything. He just bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it back in and said, Made a difference to that one.
That's good.
Made a difference for this one.
That's right.
Amen. Made a difference for you too, didn't it? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You see, there's thousands of people and millions, billions of people in the world, but it makes a difference to those one that we can reach for Christ. And the worth of one lost person is worth all the riches of the world. And so we see the value of one person. If we study the life of Christ and think of the life of Christ, I don't have time tonight, but how many people did Jesus talk to individually as He, these 3.5 years that He was on this world, this earth? So many individuals, men and women that He dealt with one-on-one because He saw the value of one. So that's the first person here, the lost sinner, and how valuable he is. The second thing, let's continue reading verse number 29 through 32. It says in verse number 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man, and underline those two words there, except some man should guide me. And he desired that Philip should come up and sit with him. And the place, the scripture where he read was this, and the following says, Isaiah chapter 53. He was reading about the prophecy of the Messiah. And so we see here the second person in this story, some man. What does he represent? He represents the submissive servant. We don't have time, but if you look in chapter 8, in the beginning of the chapter, you can see that there was persecution in the church of Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. And verse number 4 says that Philip went down to Samaria, and while he was in Samaria, he was preaching, and God was working. People were being saved. Verse 8 said there was joy in the city. Verse number 12 said people were being believing and being baptized. What was going on? There was a revival going on in Samaria, the big city of Samaria. But while Philip was in Samaria, God said to him, arise and go to the desert. You know, sometimes we may feel like God's will doesn't make sense. Why? It seemed like God called the wrong person at the wrong time to go to the wrong place because he was in the middle of a revival in Samaria. But God knew that in the desert there was a man reading his word that didn't understand and needed some man to go and show him the way. And we see here in verse number 27, verse 28, 29, 30, it says there that God said, arise and go. And Philip did what? Arose and went. Verse 29, he said, go to the chariot. Verse 30 says, he ran to the chariot. You see, we see a submissive servant willing to do what God called him to do. The importance of that submissive servant. You see, God has a person in his place for such a time as this. You might be in that school, in that place of employment. You might be in that neighborhood just for this, the work that God has for you to reach that one lost person that He wants you to reach. The importance of the servant of God. The eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And the people, so many people just like him today that need someone to take God's word and share with them the word of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be that someone. I want to be like my wife said, I want to make myself available and say, Lord, you can use my life. If we look at the servants of God, we'll find out that they weren't superheroes. You can look at when their calling, when God called them, what they said when God called them. What did Moses say? He said, I'm not a man of eloquent speech. I can't speak. I can't talk. What did Jeremiah say whenever God called him? He said, I'm a youth. I'm too young. What did Gideon say when God called him? He said, I'm a nobody. My father's not famous. We don't have any money. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm a nobody. Who's going to listen to me? What did Isaiah say when God called him? He said, I'm not worthy. But then after God showed him that his sins had been forgiven, he took the coal from the altar and touched his lips. What did Isaiah say? When he heard God said, whom shall I send and whom shall go for us? What did he say? Here am I, Lord. Send me. You see the importance of the submissive servant of God. And then tonight, let's look at the last thing. Verse number 34 and verse number 35. And the eunuch answered Philip after he read that scripture. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And underline those three words. Who's he talking about, himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth to begin the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. And the third person we see in this, some other man, the importance of the Savior, like no other Savior, like no other one. Only Jesus Christ can truly save. Only He can meet the need of our soul. Only He can give us salvation through forgiveness of sin. Only Christ is the one who died and rose again from the dead. You see the importance of the Savior. Oh, it's important to invite people to church, important to give out a tract, but it's important that they know who Christ is. You see, that man went to Jerusalem to worship Christ. He was even reading the Bible, but he didn't understand. He needed someone to explain to him and share with him the gospel, and so he could understand. If he took time tonight, if we had time, we could read the rest of the chapter. After he explained, he said, "What to hinder me from being baptized?" Philip said, "Well, if you believe, you can." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, he understood. And he believed, and then he got baptized. And then tradition says he went back to Africa, and perhaps he was the one that took the gospel to Africa. And so God knew the importance of one. The one lost sinner. And the one submissive servant. And the only one that can save, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read a couple of verses real quickly, and then we'll close. The Bible says in John chapter 7, it says, "Never man spake like this man." The soldier at the cross said, "This is truly is the Son of God." Mark chapter 15 says, "This man opened the eyes of the blind." Luke 15 said, "This man received the sinners." Amen for that. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between man and Christ, Christ Jesus." Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All we see tonight, the importance of one lost sinner. And I don't know everyone here tonight. Maybe there's someone here. You've gone to church and for the right reason, to worship, but still you don't have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. All tonight, you can be like that eunuch. You can accept Christ as your Savior and have the assurance of salvation. See the importance, how important you are to God. So important that He sent His Son to come and die for you. Tonight we can see the importance of the servant of God, that Christian, that believer that was willing to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever You want me to do, my life is available. I'll be willing to do what You want me to do." Oh, I trust that's all of our desire tonight, to be willing to be that servant that God can use to tell a man, a woman, a boy or girl about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. My Father, thank You tonight that we can have the privilege of looking at this short story and finding the importance of these three individuals. Oh, the importance of one lost sinner. We see that, God, You love each one of us, and You know each one of us, and You know our needs tonight. There's someone here that, like this eunuch, been in church maybe all their life, but still hasn't come to salvation. I pray tonight might be the night that they would accept Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, for each Christian here tonight, may we see the importance of our testimony, the importance of where we are, where God has placed us, that we can be that servant that could tell a man, a boy, a girl, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be willing when God says go, when God says speak, when God says give out a tract. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and submissive and obey and do what You have, because only You know the need of that person's heart or their situation in their life. And Father, we're so thankful that we can give out the gospel with total assurance that Jesus Christ can and will save if that person will accept them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.